that's going to restore everything back in his time. You're talking about he's so good? You best believe he's good. He's so good. So we'll go ahead and get started with our teaching. Start early, get done early. Hallelujah. Huh? God is so good. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. We're in our new teaching, talking about doing the Torah teaching, and it's understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. We started last night, and we got to the first three chapters. We're going to start with chapter 4, but I just want to do a quick overview, a quick review of those that weren't here, just a couple of ones that really meant something to me last night, and I know it meant a lot to y'all also. And like Brother Herman said, you know, this can be really like a lot. But you know how we just take a little bit at a time. Take a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And as we continue to do it, we'll learn, you know, we get more and more understanding about it. And the same thing is here for, you know, the speakers. You know, just we're only say or only talk about what we get out of it in the first go round, and then as it, you know, we do it again next year, it's a cycle. Same thing as the feast days, it'll get better and better. So it's understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And how important is that? Because listen, when you're understanding his likes and his dislikes, you're doing what's pleasing to him. You're pleasing the Father. And that's what we want to do. We want to please him. We want to understand what he likes and what he don't like. What he doesn't like, we don't want to do. What he likes, we want to do it. And look, we want to do it with everything that is in us. We want it, and to the best of our ability. That's what we want to do. So it's the Parashah Bereshit, and it's with the Torah and the half Torah, and it's Genesis 1, chapter 1, through chapter 6, verse 8. It's covering almost six whole chapters. And the half Torah is Isaiah 42. 5 through chapter 43, verse 10. And there's amazing hitting prophecies in this Torah. Amazing. I mean, we pointed out some just the Bereshit word last night. We pointed out so many hidden prophecies in that. And that's what we're trying to do to help us to understand better the Torah of what it means. And it's Bereshit means in the beginning. In the beginning. And this is Genesis 1, Bereshit. It's Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashamayim, Ve'et, Ha'arazet. Huh? All of that, that's what that is right here. Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashamayim ve'et ha'arazet. And in doing a word study on the first word recorded in scriptures, Bereshit, in the beginning, many truths are discovered, and we see Elohim's whole plan is laid out in this one word. Think about that. In Bereshit, the whole plan of hell. You think he's good? You think those little kids just sung that song, God, you're so good? In one word, he put his whole plan. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The word Bereshit in Hebrew letters, this is the Beit, the Resh, the Aleph, the Shin, the Yod, and the Tau. That's the Hebrew letter, and that's their meaning. Beit, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yod, and Tau. Think we got a lot to learn? But we'll get there, because one day, we're learning it now, but one day we're going to know it to the fullest. Amen. To the fullest we're going to know it. That's what's so great about it. The very first letter, the Beit, is a picture of a house. In the Hebrew picture language, Notice how in the Torah, the first letter is enlarged. That first letter is the largest one in the Torah, in the alphabet. Showing the foundations of the world is focused on God's house. And the first two letters spell bar, meaning sun. Shows the focus is on the kingdom of the sun. And right here, we'll go through these letters. From left to right, we have the sun. Right to left. Right here, the sun. The bait, and the resh. I have to write them down because I'm trying to remember these letters. So we have the bait and the resh, and that equals sun. Then we have the olive, that equals God. Then we have this one right, these letters right here, is the shin, the yod, and the yod and the tall. The shin, the yod, and the tall. And that means thorns. So we have the sun, God, and then thorns. That's three letters, three words we're already getting out of this one word. Okay? So now we're going to this one, the head. So the head is, we have the resh, the olive, the resh, the olive, and the shin. I was backwards. We have the resh, the olive, and the shin, and that is head, right here. Still in this one word. And then we have the shin and the yod, and that means gift. The shin and the yod, and that means gift. And the one left is the covenant, and that is the tall. And look what that whole word spells out. And this little thing right here is in plain old Hebrew. You can't see it because it's highlighted. It looks like a T, but it's a cross. And it represents covenant. The Son of God with thorns on his head hangs on a tree as a gift of the covenant. Just in Bereshit. Huh? What we said in the very first word was the plan of Elohim. This was his plan from before the foundations of the world. Before the creation, the Son of God with thorns on his head hangs on a tree as a gift for the covenant. Think about that. And that free gift, I said it last night, was in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That free gift. I tell you, those little ones, you don't plan this stuff. And that song they just sing was like, goes perfect. Goes perfect with the message. He's so good. Was that the last 12 through 16? Now we go back to today. I just wanted to point that out because it meant so much to me last night. So we covered 1 through 3. Oh, no. I missed one. I'm sorry. Bear with me right quick. I wanted to do the... the verse number 11, the first six chapters that we're breaking down. See, the first 6 days of creation is in chapter 1. In chapter 2, we see Shabbat, and we see the first time we recognize the word Yahweh, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Garden of Eden, woman taken from Adam's side. In chapter 3, we covered the serpent and the fall of man. And this is where we're starting at today, and we'll go through 4, 5, and 6, and it's talking about Cain and Abel and the first murder. Chapter 5 is the genealogy of the priestly lineage of Adam through Seth, down through Noah. And chapter 6 is we hear of the watchers taking the daughters of men and create hybrid giants. That's in chapter 6. So now we'll jump down and get started on day 4. Here we go, day 4. It says, and Elohim said, let lights come to be in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and appointed times and for days and years. And notice, he's given lights. He's given purpose to the lights. The lights is plural. So that's what he's doing when he says, let lights come to be an expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and appointed time. He's given them purpose for a reason. And we're going to point that out, for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it came to be so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. Keep that in mind, those two great lights, because we need to figure out what are those two great lights that he's talking about. And Elohim, Genesis 1, verse 17, and Elohim set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And remember last night I talked about how every day that he created, he said it was good except day two. Because why? Because day two was when the floods came from the bottom and from the top. He said the windows opened up and from the deep. He knew in day two that he couldn't call it good because he knew he had to wipe out humanity. The only day, go back and read it and look at it. The only day that he did not call good because he knew that he was going to destroy him on that day too. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the fourth day. And these are the prophecies hidden in the creation week. And we talk about those two lights, okay? It's those two lights we were talking about. It says the two lights represents David, who restores people to Torah, and Yeshua rising on the scene. In day four, King David, crowned king, lesser light. Then Yeshua, born in 4 BCE, the light of the world. Those are those two lights. Those are those hidden prophecies that we're talking about that we have to unfold or bring to light. Those are those two lights that he's talking about in day four that he created. The lesser light was King David and Yeshua. Genesis 22, 17, then I shall certainly bless you, and I shall certainly increase your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and let your seed possess the gate of their enemies. Day four, lights to guide. In the fourth millennium day, the prophets shine light on the future of Elohim's people. David, king of Israel, who was a type of the future, King Mashiach, arose precisely at the beginning of the fourth millennium. We've seen that little arrow. Precisely right at the beginning of the fourth millennium day. Yah's holidays, as determined by the sun, moon, and stars, prophetically foretold both comings of Messiah. Yeshua fulfills them exactly in order and on time. And his timing can only be understood through observing and keeping the Torah. His timing can only be understood. This is why we're teaching the Torah. This is why we're taking our time and we're going to go through it year after year after year until we get it close as possible. Why? Because you only can understand observing his timing only can be understood by keeping the Torah. Yeshua said in Revelations 22, 13, I am the Alpha, the Tau, and the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Notice, day four, Yeshua arrives on the scene, his first coming. Here we are in day six. We're right at the end of day six. And what happens at the end of day six, right before day seven starts? You're going to see the Alpha and the Tau arrive, his second coming. We're so close to it. We're about right here in those days. We're right at the end of the sixth day. we're only a handful of years away from the age of Messiah. Handful before he arrives right here on his second coming. How amazing it's been prophesied and hidden since the foundation of the world. Two different comings. How amazing is that? It's been hidden. But here we are. He's opening up our understanding to where we can know how close exactly his return is. At the end of the fourth millennium day, the stars showed signs. Yeshua, the awaited and prophesied Mashiach, came as the Son of Righteousness in the light of the world and tabernacled with man. Born on the first day of tabernacle, a full moon, the Word made flesh and tabernacled among us. So at his birth, the sun, moon, and stars all played a part, for the wise men understood the timing as the one who would come like unto Moshe and would be the suffering servant. So the stars and all its array and everything played a big old part for the wise men to come and see the Messiah as the suffering servant who would take away the sins of the world. Hosea 6:2, after 2 days, he shall revive us. On the third day, he shall raise us up so that we live before him. Write this scripture down. After 2 days, he shall revive us. This is another hidden prophecy I'm about to show y'all. On the third day, he shall raise us up so that we live before him. One day, two day. What happens on the third day? He shall revive us. This is the millennium. This is the 7,000 year, and this is the millennium. One day, what Hosea 2 says? After 2 days, he shall revive us. On the third day, he shall raise us up. Hallelujah. Huh? How awesome is that? Huh? Right in this very first word of in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bereshit. This is all in this first scripture, first verse. This is the only day that Yah did not call good, and that's just what we went over. This is here where we're at. This is what we're talking about right now. So we see here two lights created, one starting the millennium day and one ending. And here we are going on day 5. The populating the waters and the sky. Genesis 1, verse 20 and 21. It says, and Elohim said, let the heavens teem with shoals of living beings, and let the birds fly above the earth and on the face of the expanse of the heavens. And Elohim created great sea creatures and every living being that moves, with which the waters teem according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. So he's populating the waters and the skies right here. That's what it says. That's what teem means. Verse 22 and 23. And Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and increase and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the fifth day. Yeshua's ministry was anointed on the fifth day of the millennium. And at his baptism, his mikvah, when he was symbolized debt to self by full immersion in the living waters of the Jordan and the Ruach HaKodesh, descended in the form of a dove. Right in the middle of that fifth day, when the birds are being populated, Yeshua is being mikvahed. And the dove is descended upon him. The Ruach HaKodesh is descended upon him like a dove. All that ties in together. The fish was an early symbol of believers in Yeshua, as he told his disciples that he would make them fishers of men. Just as the waters were populated by fish, the population of men grew with the fishers of men during this time. The fishers of men went out and told the goodness of Yeshua, all in this fifth day. Told the goodness on the fifth millennium day, the day that Elohim created the fishes foreshadowed. There was a picture, it was a foreshadow of what was being created, what was happening. On that same day, Yeshua was told them, go out and be fishers of men. It was populating men. By the thousands, they was being converted over. By the thousands. The Ruach HaKodesh set apart, fell in abundance upon Yeshua. And what he said to the birds and the fishes, to populate, to multiply in abundance upon Yeshua's followers, and was fruitful and multiplied in new converts. So we see these creatures being fruitful and multiplying in day five, right here. Day five, we've seen the creatures being fruitful and multiplying. Symbolic of the early message of Yeshua going forth in the world. Day six. Genesis 1, 24 and 25. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living being according to its kind, livestock and creeping creatures and beasts of the earth according to its kind. And it came to be so. And Elohim made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, livestock according to its kind, and all that creep on the earth according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. Two things happening on day six. First, animal created, then man. First, animal was created, and then man happened on day six, on that millennium day. Verse 26, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, over the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all creeping creatures that creep on the ground. So just go back to that 79 slide right quick. I want to point something out. Two things happening on day six. First, animals created, then man. So what is interesting is that we see in day one, in day four, it correlates together because it gives purpose to the light. So we see day one and day seven correlates together. Day one and day four. Lights and lights. And then you have day two and day five. Day two and day five correlates together. He's populating the waters above and below. And day three and day six, dry land and man correlates together. Dry land and vegetation goes with who he is going to create on day six. The animals and man, dry land. Genesis 1:27. And Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him, male and female, he created them. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said to them, be fruitful and increase and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over all creeping creatures on the earth. Verse 29, and Elohim said, see, I have given you every plant that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it is for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every creeping creature on the earth, in which there is a living being. Every green plant is for food. And it came to be so, and Elohim saw all that he had made, and see, it was very good. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the sixth day. The very first thing we need to correlate, we don't know him as Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh yet. We only know him as Elohim. We only know him as Elohim. That's his title, not his name. That's plural. This is what this is highlighted for. It's in a plural sense. All things have a perfect balance. That is the plurality in the one true Elohim. Not multiple, just one. And we just read that in the Shema. He's only one. So this is where we first... This is getting ready where we're going to get ready to see the very first time we see the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. During the last 1,000 years, the symbolic sixth day, men have either been seen as barbaric beasts or as a bride. And ain't that the truth? In these last 1,000 years, what we're seeing, men is all about men. What we want, what we can get, how we can trump over the next guy. It's all about being a barbaric beast or as a bride. We want to be that bride. That's what we're preparing for, to be his bride. On the sixth day, man was created in the image of Elohim, then married, then entered Shabbat. We are now at the end of 6,000 years, and it is the time for man to be recreated in the image of Elohim, in preparation of the marriage of the Lamb and the millennium Shabbat, the next 1,000 years of rest. In Bible prophecy, Daniel Revelation, we see the nations are identified as beasts. We've seen Babylon was identified as a lion, the Medo-Persia as a bear, and Greece as a leopard with wings, and Rome is the dreadful, terrible beast. Out of Rome, two legs of iron. We just seen these in the teaching we did. We went through all these. But the two legs of iron. The papacy is Eastern Rome, the Catholic Church. That's the Western Rome. The Eastern Rome is Constantinople, the Eastern Bull, where the Ottoman Empire rose, Islam. That's what those two legs represent. Each one of us now face one last choice. We will be recreated in the image of Elohim as a pure bride, or we will take the image of the beast. Think about that. The next thing to come, pointing to the age of Messiah in that 1,000 year of rest. The final thing that happens that separates the wheat from the tare, that's what this is talking about. That's the final thing that's going to happen. It separates the wheat from the tare, the sheep from the goat, is the mark of the beast. You're either going to take the seal of Elohim and be recreated in his image, or we'll take the mark of the beast. We're going to do one or the other. And listen, without doing Torah, it's going to be hard-pressed. Hard-pressive for us not to take the mark. If we're not doing Torah, if we're not keeping his feast days, we're either going to do one or the other. Day 7, Shabbat rest. Genesis 2 and 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their array. And in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day and formed all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because on it he rested from all his work, which Elohim in creating had made. He did three things on that day. He rested, he blessed, and he sanctified. That's what that set apart means. He sanctified that day. If we don't keep the Sabbath day, if we don't keep his Sabbath day, we won't be prepared for his seventh millennium day. If we don't keep it, we won't be prepared for it. How many thankful that we're doing this these days, these Bible things, Bible ways, because we want to be prepared. I want to be prepared for that millennium rest. And if we don't, not if we're not keeping it, we won't be prepared. And a lot of the world, a lot of believers, that's the scary part, won't be prepared. So at the end of the sixth day and entering into the seventh, we see five things. Elohim, number one, Elohim created man with his spirit and his image. Number two, the union of bride and bridegroom as one. From the very beginning, that's how he created them, as one. Elohim rested, entered into rest. Listen, he didn't have to rest. He showed us. He was an example. He was an example for us. Number four, Elohim blessing this specific time period. One day I'm going to get that word right. And Elohim setting aside this time period for holy use. That's why we rest on this day. It's for holy use. We don't, what it says, you don't buy and sell. Your maid servants, your female servants, you don't put them to work. It's what he's telling you. It's for holy use. Marriage and Shabbat. When Mashiach returns, we will experience the marriage of the Lamb and the millennium Shabbat. 1,000 years of rest and peace. Think about that. 1,000 years. A holy period of blessing. The seventh-day Shabbat rest looks both back at creation and forward to when the Prince of Peace will return and to rule the earth during the seventh millennium, the Prince of Peace teaching peace from the City of Peace. Hallelujah. Wow, teaching peace from the City of Peace, the Prince of Peace. Because look, I said this last night. We're getting all this now, but before we even step out the door, the enemy is right there to snatch it from us. But for 1,000 years, he's going to be bound, and he won't be able to take. Can you imagine that he won't be able to sow a thought in your mind to make you doubt what God did, what Elohim has done? The Prince of Peace teaching peace from the City of Peace. Oh, I can't wait for that day. Donald Trump can't sign a peace treaty. Ain't going to happen. So this just of highlighted of all these days that we went through already so far. Yeshua was born, like one of the lights. King David was the lesser light, dry land in the wilderness. And there was vegetation for food. And there was two types of food, spiritual food and physical food. And Yeshua fulfilled both of them. He told him, I'm the manna that come down from heaven. The first mitzvot, Genesis 1, 27 and 28, talking about the first commandments. And there's a lot of discrepancies about what was the first ones, where they're at, or what, you know, you can check them, go and check them out. But according to scripture, you know, different sages, they say this was the first one, that one's the first one. But here we go, the first mitzvot. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, and Elohim created the man in his image. In the image of Elohim, he created him, male and female, he created them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and increase, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over all creeping creatures on the earth. That's the first commandment. The first mitzvah, be fruitful and increase and fill the earth and subdue it. People promote or say that a priest should marry that's directly against Torah. I think I'm ahead of myself. Verse 29, and Elohim says, see, I have given you every plant that yields seeds, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it is for food. It's another mitzvot. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to every creeping creature on the earth, in which there is a living being. Every green plant is for food, and it came to be so. And Elohim saw all that he had made, and see, it was very good. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the sixth day. Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their array. And in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed it the seventh day and set it apart. He sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work, which Elohim is creating, had made, in creating had made. Verse 4, thus the birds of the heavens and the earth, when they were created. Now we're seeing a shift right here. We're seeing a shift in Scripture, and we got to figure out why. What is this shift? In that day that Yah, Elohim, made earth and heavens, now no shrub of the field was yet on the earth, and no plant on the field had yet sprung up. For Yah, Elohim, had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the entire surface of the ground. So here we go. Let's look. That's when they were created. We're going to figure out what that is, what he's talking about when they were created. So here we see an anagram, okay? So we see that when they were created, we see a bet. Then we see a little hey. It's the smallest one you're going to see in the alphabet, a little hey. Then you see another bet. And then you see a resh, an aleph, and a mem. And that means when they were created. But you see these arrows? So if you take this and move it here, and take this aleph and move it there, you have a different meaning right here. It says the hay is a window. In the picture language means where something is to be revealed. But there's something to be revealed is actually hitting. So that's what we got to find out. This hay right here, that means it's a window. And it means there's something to be revealed. So we switch these letters around right here. And then what you have? You have the bet. You have the olive. You have another bet. Then you have the resh. The hay and the mean. And that means father of many. And he's talking about Abraham. Father of many. This is a glimpse of Elohim's character. That Elohim has foreseen Abraham and that the world is worthy to be created for those who would have observed the Torah, even in the midst of a sinful world. That's what that means. He was the father of many. Abraham was the father of many. And Elohim seen that beforehand. And he was counted worthy. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and guarded my charge, my commands, my laws, and my Torah. Before it was even given on Mount Sinai, Abraham was guarding them, all his laws. Genesis 2:4. These are the birds of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yah Elohim made earth and heavens. Now no shrub of the field was yet on the earth, and no plant of the field yet had sprung up, for Yah Elohim had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Right here is where we see the first glimpse of the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Right here. The first glimpse of the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He is revealed to his bride, which he has created in mankind. But a mist went up from the garden and watered the entire surface of the ground. The Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Next slide. The Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Self-existing Father of love. Elohim, God. Now that he, Yah, had created man in his image, he would now reveal himself. He is revealing his bride, which he has created in mankind. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, self-existent Father of love. Wow. In Yah, Genesis 2:7, and Yah Elohim formed the man. He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils breath of lives, and the man became a living being. And Yah Elohim planted a garden in Eden to the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, Yah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yah created man, and man must be perfect in thought, words, and deed. And that's Adam. The olive, the dialect, and the mean. The Dalit and the Mean spells out Allah. I mean Adam. And look, intellect, thought, speech, and deed. Man must be perfect in thoughts, word, and deeds. And if we are created in Elohim's image, and we are in Adam, and he means for us to be perfect in thought, that's what he means. If we're created if we create an Elohim's image and we are in Adam, then we must be perfect in thought, mind, and deed. Thought, speech, and deed. We must be perfect just like that if we're created in his image. The minute you doubt Elohim, you are not perfect in thought, mind, and deed. The minute you doubt him, you're not perfect in thought, mind, and deed. Genesis 2:7 again, and Yah Elohim formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and the man became a living being. So there was two composites that formed Adam, the dust and the very Ruach HaKodesh, the very breath of Elohim. That's a very intimate and personal right there. Breathe into his nostrils his breath. Think about that. That's very intimate and personal. So when you say that, you know, you want the set-apart spirit, you want his Ruach HaKodesh, think about it. That's personal. That's you wanting that. That's a personal and intimate relationship that he freely wants to give to us. And Yah Elohim planted a garden in Eden to the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, Yah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there divided and became four heads. The name of the first of Phishon, it is the one surrounding the entire land of Hawla, there where there is gold. And the goal of that land is good. Beldalim is there in the Shoham stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one surrounding the entire land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Asher. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And Yah Elohim took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to guard it. And Yah Elohim commanded the man, saying, eat of every tree of the garden, but do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall certainly die. In Elohim, there is no mixture. There's no mixture in Elohim. But there we see in this tree, there's a mixture in this tree. Good and evil. Good and evil, called good and evil. There's a mixture. But then what he told him not to do, don't eat of that tree, because there's no mixture in me. Or you certainly die. Because of the freedom of choice, you have to have an option. That's what that is. Because of the, you say, well, why did he put that in the tree? Because he ain't, I mean, in the garden, because he's not going to go over man's free will. He wants man to choose. Choose today whom you will serve. That's what he wants. We have a choice. But because of the freedom of choice, you have to have an option. Verse 18, and Yah Elohim said, it is not good for man to be alone. I am going to make a helper for him as his counterpart. And from the ground, Yah Elohim formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to man to see what he would call them. Gave him total dominion over everything. You name them. And whatever the man called each living being, that was its name. So the man gave names to all of livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper for him as his counterpart. So Yah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which Yah Elohim had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. From the very beginning, one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, yet they were not ashamed. They didn't know they was naked because the glory, you got to understand, it was the glory that was upon them. That's why they knew they was not naked. They wasn't naked. But as soon as that glory left them, as soon as sin and the glory left, what did they do? They realized they was naked. And they try to fix it. Genesis 3:1, and the Nahash, the serpent, was more crafty than all the lives of the field which Yah Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, now crafty don't mean that he was, crafty mean that he was created a being. You know, we read serpent, but it really wasn't a serpent. It was an animal that Yah had created, and it was beautiful. It could have had wings, whatever, we really don't know yet. But crafty mean that he was able to speak. That's why Eve didn't surprise her that she was having this conversation, because they talked to the animals. The animals could have talked back then. So, you know, you hear these stories and it doesn't really make sense until you really start digging. And he said to the woman, conversation her and this crafty animal is having, is it true that Elohim has said, do not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the Nahash, we are to eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim said, do not eat of it, nor touch it, lest ye die. And the Nahash said to the woman, you certainly shall not die. See, they knew the Torah. They knew what God said. They knew his word. But the enemy, so in that thought, just like he can do to us, gave him doubt. Did Elohim really say? For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to make one wise. And she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loin coverings for themselves. And they heard the voice of Yah Elohim walking in the garden. How you hear this voice if he's spirit? If Yah is spirit, how did they hear his voice? And they sewed fig leaves together and made loins cover, and heard the voice walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Elohim among the trees of the garden. So they heard, listen, when his spirit moves, I bet you when his spirit was moving, the leaves would just tremble on the trees. That's how they heard his voice, him walking in the garden. And Yah Elohim called unto Adam and said to him, "Where are you? Where are you?" And we all know where he was, that Yah knew where he was, because it was an appointment that they always met this one spot every day, every day. And he said, "I hear your voice in the garden. I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And that's what sin does. Sin brings fear in your life. Sin brings fear. And he said, "Who made you know that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman," the first blame game, first instituted right here, the first biblical, I said that during one of our teaching, the first biblical blame game, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And Yah Elohim said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The Nahash deceived me and I ate." See, it just keeps going. Finger pointing keeps going down. And Yah Elohim said to the Nahash, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all livestock." So now he's cursing this livestock, this being that he created. "And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you are to go and eat dust all the days of your life. And I put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head and you shall crush his heel." And to the woman he said, "I greatly increase your sorrow and your conception. Bring forth children in pain, and your desire is for your husband, and he does rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'Do not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you are to eat of it all the days of your life. And the ground shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you are to eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you return.' And the man called his wife's name Hawa, because she became the mother of all living. And Yah Elohim made coats of skin for the man and his wife and dressed them. And Yah Elohim said, 'See, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" God, you're so good. "So Yah Elohim sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And he drove the man out, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Genesis 4:1. "And Adam knew Hawa his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have gained a man.'" Yah. "And again she gave birth to his brother Hebel, which is Abel, and Abel became a keeper of sheep. Cain became a tiller of the ground. And it came to be in the course of time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of his ground to Yah. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yah looked to Abel and his offering, but he did not look to Cain and his offering. And Cain was very wroth, and his face fell." It's not that Cain didn't bring his best. It's just that his heart wasn't right. That was the difference between him and Abel. His heart wasn't right. "And Yah said to Cain, 'Why is he wroth towards you, and why is your face fallen? Is it not good? Is it not, if you do good, you are to be accepted?'" Notice, if your heart's right, you're going to do good. "If you do not do good towards, the door is a sin. He is lying, and towards you is his desire. And you must rule over him." Same thing applies for us today. If our heart ain't right, sin's lying at the door. "And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came to be when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And Yah said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's guard? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to Yah, my punishment is too great to bear. See, you have driven me from the face of the ground today, and I am hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And it shall be that anyone who finds me kills me. And Yah said to him, well, if anyone kills Cain, vengeance is taking on him sevenfold. And Yah set up a sign for Cain, lest anyone finding him strikes him. So Cain went out from the presence of Yah and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of the Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. Now this is not the Enoch that walked with Elohim, different one. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad brought forth Mehuel, and Mehuel brought forth Methuselah, and Methuselah brought forth Lamech. And Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Adah bore Yabel. He was the father of those who dwell in tents with livestock. And his brother's name was Eubal. He was the father of all those who played the lyre and the flute. And as for Zillah, she bore Tubal-Cain and a smith of all kinds of tools in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Nahamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Listen to my words, for I have killed a man wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. For Cain is avenged sevenfold, and Lamech 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Set. For Elohim has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, because Cain had killed him. And to Set, to him also a son was born. He called his name Enosh. Then it was begun to call the name of Yah. In chapter 6, chapter 5 is the whole priesthood lineage. And that's what I was wanting to reference to a little while ago. Because, you know, you have beliefs or certain sect of people that say priests shouldn't get married. But in order to be a priest, you have to be in the priestly lineage. So you have to have been the son of a priest to be a priest. So that just goes to show you how that you're breaking the Torah from the very beginning. You are annulling the Torah, because in order for you to be a priest, you have to become a priest from the priestly lineage. You have to be born. You know, but you got certain ones that say, oh, a priest shouldn't marry. You're breaking Torah. So here we go with Genesis 6. Verse 1 through 8, and it came to be when men begin to increase on the face of the earth, we're talking about the Nephilim, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, and they were good, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever. In his going astray, he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men and bore, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, the men of name. And Yah saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every inclination of thoughts of his heart. And what the scripture says, don't trust your heart. The inclination of your heart was only evil continually. And we can see that today. The inclination of man's heart is continually against Yah. And Yah was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his very heart. And Yah said, I am going to wipe off man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast, creeping creature and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah... This is the verse we're ending with. Why? Because Noah is the next Torah portion. And what does Noah name means in Hebrew? Grace. Noah names means grace, found favor, but Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of Yah. Hallelujah. Listen, and if you want to get a more in-depth to this Genesis 6, download the book of Enoch and read chapter 7, and it tells you about these Nephilim. You know, there was three of them. There was three giants. It was the great giants, the Nephilim, and there was another one. I can't remember the name of them, but it was three of them in those days. So if you want some extra reading, go download Enoch. Three generations of giants. It was the great giants first. It was the Nephilim second. And then there was another one. I can't remember the name of it. But there was three generations of giants. Yes, there was. And like I said, Enoch chapter 7 talks about that. So look, if you want some extra reading, it'll explain that all. But this is the end of our first Torah. And we're getting ready to start Noah. Noah found favor. Noah found grace. That's the Torah portion 2 that we'll start next Saturday. So this week at home, we won't have Bible studies. So you do the half Torah and the Brit Hadishah at home yourselves this week. So God is so good, isn't he? I hope y'all enjoyed the teachings that we're learning and that we're going, you know, with the Torah, because it talks about his whole creation from the very beginning and what he's going to restore. So I'm excited. I'm excited about it. And both excited and nervous, both. And I mean, I am. I can't lie. But I enjoy it. It's a lot. It feels like it's a lot. But again, you get better and better the more you learn. The more you do it, the more you study, the more Yah reveals himself to us. And that's what he's doing. He's just revealing himself more and more to us. So I thank y'all for coming out. Just don't get weary in well-doing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. I know these little words and these little meanings can feel like, oh, man, yeah, I don't even understand half of the stuff. Well, try to be the one trying to speak it. But so, hey, that's what we have. I appreciate it. Let's stand. Anybody have any prayer? We'll do the announcements right after because we don't have no. I told you, get out. I guess it's early. We do have I have a prayer request. Scooby called for Tanya. They had to bring her to the hospital last night. So he asked that the church pray, be in prayer for Tanya. And Adrian, too. She's up there, but she's sick, so she's got to come home. Scooby did mention that also, too. So we have Tanya, Adrian, Brother Chad's family, and that God will just use you in a mighty way up there and be a willing vessel. Amen. He's so good to us. So Heavenly Father,